Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you feel like life is demanding more than you have to give? Well, you're not alone, friend, but God wants to meet you at your point of need and be strong in your weakness. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study power for life. Stay with us. Do or where do you turn when life becomes overwhelming? A lot of people turn to painkillers, drugs, alcohol, escapism. But Jesus Christ wants you to turn to Him, and He offers you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, an indwelling presence of God that gives you power for life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us here or you can join us online at dailyintheword.org, listen online to recent programs, or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take Daily in the Word with you via your phone or iPod or computer. Listen to it at your convenience. Today, we're studying power for life. How can we approach life beyond our capacity? When you come to the end of your human capacity, it's then that you find in your weakness, He wants to be strong and He wants to get the glory for what happens in and through your life. Power for life. I do want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources we want to highlight to you as we study this series. The first is a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, a very close inspection and rediscovery of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in your life. If you'd like to take this series and go deeper, you're going to enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Also, a new book by Dr. Chappell entitled The Burden Bearer, how you can give your burden to the true burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. A creative book, an allegory that will touch your heart and challenge and change your perspective on the burdens you're carrying today. This and much, much more, you can find out all about it at dailyintheword.org. Right now, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 as we study the power to save.
Well, as we learn about God's power in our everyday lives, this morning we come to a passage that really teaches us where the power begins. How do we get connected to the Lord Jesus Christ in the very first place? And when you think about power and authority, there are many realms of power and authority in the world today. For example, I believe there's authority in the home, and I believe that God has vested into moms and dads great responsibility in the home. There's certainly power and authority in our military. We saw some slides a moment ago. And I noticed we did not have one Democratic president in that slide, so don't write me a letter about that. Write Brother Schmidt. He's in charge of all media operations at Lancaster Baptist Church. And but the military certainly has great power and might in this world today. Our police officers who we're honoring today have authority, and they have they have power. By the way, how many of you would like to have some of that authority maybe just for 30 minutes? Anybody like me, like when traffic is congested or when there's a long line, you know, you'd like just once to have a badge and just say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, several hundred times, get to the front of the line and then just say, just kidding, and go right on ahead. I've often wondered about that. I was preaching in the Philippines a few years ago, and Pastor Ed Lorena, my good friend, picked me up, and he started out into the traffic, and I think 20 million people live in Manila, and it was just unbelievable. We were going about 2 miles an hour, just it seemed like hour after hour, and finally he reached under his seat. He said, "All right, I've had enough of this," and he put on top of his car a light, one of those red flashing police lights. And he began to press a button and make a siren sound. And folks began to move. And I'm telling you what, we weaved in and weaved out. And I said, "Brother Lorena, I didn't realize you were a law enforcement officer." He said, "I'm not. I just bought this at a store the other day just in case I needed it." And I don't recommend you do that, but it was fun that day. I mean, we really enjoyed. In fact, he let me press the button a few times. You know, I was getting into it. But police officers certainly have power and authority. Firemen have power and authority. And how we thank the Lord for them. We're going to honor them today. One of the best pictures I've seen lately that just illustrates it is this fellow who parked in front of a fire hydrant. And firefighters needed to get to the fire hydrant, so they did what they had to do. They used their authority to get water out of the fire hydrant. And yet this morning we're going to see that there is a realm of authority that belongs only to Jesus. Now we know that he has all power and authority, but in particular, we're going to see a realm of authority that belongs only to him. In fact, the Bible said a moment ago in our text, John 1:12, that Jesus Christ has power and authority to place someone into the family of God. To place someone into the family of God. Now notice that in John 1:12. "But as many as received him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now let's just read that verse together and kind of let it sink in, all right? Ready, begin. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now the scriptures tell us that there's power in that name, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. And to those who believe on his name and on his finished work, he gives power to become the sons of God. Galatians 3 and verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, there are those who would say that everyone is a child of God and everyone is on their way to heaven. They teach a false doctrine called the universal fatherhood of God. Now, in the sense that we are all created his image, and the sense that God gives us a wonderful life from the standpoint of physical birth, that's a gift from God. But salvation, the power to save, comes through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, pluralism tells us that there are many ways to God, and this is kind of what's in fashion today. Just pick one of these roads, because they say, just like going to the shopping mall, all roads lead to heaven. So whatever one you pick, as long as you really believe it, then you'll get there somehow. But we come to the Bible today, and we find the words of Jesus in John 14 and verse 6, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." And so who has power to save this morning? Who has power to forgive sin this morning? No doubt all of us are called to love our neighbors. No doubt all of us need to learn in our everyday life how to respect people who have differing beliefs and how to love people who are not exactly like us, and so on and so forth. But we cannot allow political correctness to hijack our pulpits to become a theological system in our everyday life. When it comes to how we believe and how we relate to God, we come to the Bible as our manual and we say, "Lord, teach us the way. Who has power to save? What does the Bible say?" Well, I want you to notice with me this morning the power of Jesus Christ to save. And I want to share with you why I believe Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Notice, if you would, first of all, this morning, there is power in the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ's position in the world and even in the realms of religion, where would we place Christ? How would we define the Lord Jesus Christ in a few short definitions or terms? And let me give you a very easy way to define Jesus Christ biblically. The way we would define Jesus Christ biblically, simply stated, is that he is eternal God. Jesus Christ is eternal God. Now, if he is not eternal God, we don't need to be here this morning. We ought to be out fishing or joining some interfaith club or something like that. But if Jesus Christ is what the Bible claims Jesus Christ to be, then we need to listen up this morning and go back to the scriptures with me and notice what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, if you would. It says, in the beginning was the, capital W, Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this word, Word, is the Greek word logos. It speaks of the living Word, the Word here referencing the Lord Jesus Christ. As one commentary describes it, the logos did not then begin to be, but at that point at which all else began to be, he already was. When we read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We read a Hebrew word, Elohim, which defines plurality and which speaks again to the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus did not begin his existence in Bethlehem's manger, but he is eternal God. And we must come to an understanding, if Jesus says, I am the way, what sets him apart? Why would he have said such a statement? And it is because he is eternal God. But it is more than that. For the eternal God that we speak of this morning, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible speaks of this fact in many passages, but I want you to see that he is not only eternal God, but he is called the Son of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, watch this, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, someone says, well, Pastor Chappell, major world religions deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I recognize that. And there really is only one argument for that particular issue today, and that is what is mentioned in verse number 4, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, we believe today that he is the Son of God and that that fact is justified by the fact that there is an empty tomb today. And I've seen that tomb with my own eyes. And I tell you this morning that 1,500 witnesses saw not just the empty tomb. They saw the resurrected Christ. Thomas touched his hands and his feet and his side. And we recognize that here in the Word of God, we are taught that we have a Savior, the Son of God. Now, he came to us miraculously. And think of that. Notice in John 1:14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now let's just pause for a moment. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was whom? God. All right? So we've established the identity of the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we read down in John 1:14, and it says, and the Word, that eternal Son of God, the Word did something unbelievable, incomprehensible to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you know the Christmas story, but let's rehearse it for just a moment. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, the Bible says. And the Bible tells us that that holy thing which came from Mary was the very Son of God. And God became man and dwelt among us. Colossians 2 and verse 9 tells us of Jesus Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so Jesus Christ came to this earth miraculously by way of the virgin birth. He took the form of a man, and yet while he was 100% man, he had the feelings of a man, the appetite of a man, and the sense of eating and living, the rigors of an everyday life, and yet he was also 100% God. He was the God-man. And he came not only miraculously, but Jesus Christ came purposefully to this earth. And it was announced very early on by the angels who told Mary of this great event. Look in your notes there at Luke 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now here we get a glimpse into the reason Jesus Christ came, the purpose for his coming. Why would eternal God, why would the Son of God come to a sinful world and dwell amongst sinful men? And why would he ultimately make a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? Because he came to be the Savior of the world. When we think of the position of Jesus Christ, we must recognize there is power in that position. Let me just remind you that there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And yet we thank God this morning that we serve a risen Savior and that his powerful position has been made known to us. And so there is power in the exalted position of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we believe that while there are many powers and authorities in this world, that we ought to obey God rather than men, that we are his servants. We are to follow his word in our everyday lives. But I want you to notice, secondly, there is not only power in the position and in his person, but notice, if you would, that there is power in his payment. I want you to think about the power in the payment that Jesus Christ made when he came to this earth. Now turn, if you would, in your Bibles or look in your notes there to John 3:16-17. Very, very famous verses. Sometimes you'll see a football game or a basketball game and you'll see somebody at the end zone with a sign, John 3:16. And in fact, I actually led a man to the Lord one time who said to me, "What is that John 3:16? And I had the privilege of reading it to him and explaining to him who Jesus Christ is. So let's look at this verse this morning. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now think about the payment that Jesus Christ made for us. The Bible says God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. And we know that he came to this earth. He suffered and died on the cross for our sin. So I want you to see, first of all, that there is a payment of sacrifice that was made. It was a great sacrifice for Jesus Christ to come, for him to live on this earth, for him to voluntarily go to the cross of Calvary. The Bible speaks of it in Romans 5:9. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." When I was a little guy in church, we used to sing a song something like this: "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." Any of you ever hear that song? Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, when Jesus Christ shed his blood, because he was eternal God, the sacrifice that he made was not like just some other guy up on the cross dying. But when Jesus Christ shed his blood, because he had been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, Mary had been, and because he was born not by men, but by this great and miraculous way of the Holy Spirit, then the blood that was shed was the innocent blood of eternal God, making atonement for the sins of the entire world. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ made a great sacrifice. And certainly the songwriter said it right when he said, "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." In fact, Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for our sins." The Bible says in Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, any church, even a Christian so-called church that says, "Our church can wash your sins away," or "the baptistry can wash your sins away," or "the communion cup can cleanse you from your sin," is misrepresenting the truth. There is one way that we can find satisfaction with God and forgiveness with God, and that one way is by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ken Blanchard, the author of The 1 Minute Manager, once asked another great management expert, Peter Drucker, the question, "Why are you a Christian?" And this is what Peter Drucker said: "Because Jesus paid it all." Jesus paid it all. You see, religion says, do this and do this and do this. But Jesus said, I've already finished it for you. Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And so he made a payment of sacrifice for us. But notice, secondly, he made a payment of substitution for us. You see, what we need to do oftentimes as we read these great scriptures is we need to personalize them. We need to recognize this isn't something in the abstract for everybody out there. But for you and for me, he died. And you see, we must recognize this. The Bible teaches that all of us need a Savior. All of us are sinners. And if someone says, well, that's not a very nice thing to say to a visitor. And yet, you know, there's one thing worse than telling someone they're a sinner, and that's not telling the truth. When you go to the doctor, as much as you don't want to hear difficult news, you need to hear the truth before you can make things right. And the truth is, every one of us need a Savior, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. It's not our job to sugarcoat what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us have sinned. Listen, friends, the fact of the matter is that while many of us in this room have been saved a while, we try to apply the scriptures, walk in the Spirit, we try to seek God's face, ask forgiveness when we do wrong, while we're on a journey of spiritual growth, there's not one person in this room, from this preacher all the way around the room, that can say, I'm a sinless person, or I've lived a perfect week. We all fall short of the glory of God. I heard about a policeman who found a perfect spot to watch for speeders. Man, he was excited. He was zoned in. He had his radar gun. But the problem came when he discovered, as day after day he was finding very few people coming through there going fast enough, he discovered that just about a half a mile ahead of him, there was a little boy standing out on the curb, a 10-year-old boy with a sign that said, speed trap ahead. What was worse than that was his little friend was a half a mile past the speed trap with a little sign and a bucket that said tips. And so the officer found out that he had a little problem there, had a couple sinners that had figured out an angle on how to make a little money on that situation. Now, you know, whether it's an innocent ploy or whether it's a little child or whether it's a calculated scheme or premeditated type of a sin, the Bible just says that we're all sinners. God doesn't label them big and little. He just says we have a problem here from our Adamic nature, from our birth, and that is a problem called sin. In fact, look at the verse in 1 John 1:8. It says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I don't usually find, I've met one or two people that took a minute before they coughed it up. Most people will admit, you know what, I'm not perfect. I need the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard of a woman who was summoned for jury duty, and she said to the judge, she said, Judge, Your Honor, I'm sorry, I cannot serve on a jury. I do not believe in capital punishment, and I just can't serve on this jury. And the judge said, well, ma'am, this isn't a capital charge, so that doesn't matter. He said, this is a case where a husband emptied out his wife's savings account of $14,000, took a 3-day weekend trip with his girlfriend to Atlantic City. And she said, well, she said, all right, I'll serve. And I could be wrong about capital punishment, too. Now, there's a lot of people that in their heart, certain things can bring out some anger or some frustration. And yet all of us, the Bible says, are sinners. But notice, secondly, Jesus died in our stead. He died on the cross in our stead. John 3:16, the Bible says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now think of that word, whosoever believeth. The word believe means to be persuaded of it, to put my full confidence in this truth, to have faith or to entrust my eternity in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching today in a series entitled Power for Life. Friend, the power to live beyond your capacity begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you can enter into that relationship by faith. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not about religion or tradition or structure. It's not about earning it by being good. It's about entering into it by faith because of the grace and mercy of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do so right now. Bow your head and heart, pray a simple prayer of faith, confessing to Jesus Christ that you believe that He is God, that He rose from the dead after dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your life to be your Savior once and for all. That's a decision you will never, ever regret, and we would love to talk with you more about it. Before we close today's edition of Daily in the Word, I do want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find out more about this series. You can listen to recent programs or broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily in the Word devotional. It's a free resource that comes to your inbox each and every day. It has an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading, as well as a word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell and a chapter from Proverbs. It will take you through the entire Bible in 1 year. And all you need to do is check your email each day and read your incoming email. What a great way to follow in the Bible reading schedule and to walk with the Lord each day. And it's free. There are many other resources when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Two books that are companions to this series that Dr. Chappell has written recently. The first is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. It's a paperback book that studies in depth the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a powerful companion to this series, Power for Life. Also, a new book entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a hardback book written in an allegory form that will rivet you, capture you, captivate you, and then it will challenge you to give your burden to the burden bearer. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.